everybody. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Eagles Insider, along with Joe DeCamera. You know, Joe, we sat here a week ago and wondered what the Eagles were going to be all about. Yeah. Wondered about Carson Wentz. Wondered about this defense. Wondered about the receivers. Got some answers for me?
Got some answers. Look, what a performance that was on Sunday, and obviously very exciting for the whole town. I mean, Carson Wentz to do what he did and the whole team to do what they did. Look, Cleveland's not that good. We all understand that. But that was a heck of an opening performance. And for a player that had played so little in the preseason, and, of course, making the jump from 1AA, tremendous, unbelievable performance.
And think about this. In the last few days, what have we learned about Carson Wentz and the Eagles? We've learned that his jersey, number 11, the number one seller in the NFL online in the last week here. Yeah. That's pretty good. And then Mr. President Barack Obama comes to town and urges everyone to jump on board the Wentz wagon.
Yes.
That's some serious mojo.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And listen, I mean, Carson Wentz is showing why the Eagles made the commitment with the second pick and the trade and everything they did in that regard. And you got to think right now, if you're Cleveland, man, that's not looking good. And if the Rams, that's not looking so good. So right now, as the Eagles obviously are trying to kind of build this thing back up and get it going for the future and have some success in 2016, really nice job repositioning the franchise right now.
Feels good. But we've got a long, long way to go in this season. We've got a long, long way to go in this week. And so today, players return to the NovaCare Complex. They work out, no media availability. So we've got a little treat for you. We're going to go back to Sunday's win over the Cleveland Browns. A little mic'd up session with Eagles Pro Bowl safety Malcolm Jenkins. Some of the sounds of the game from that big 29-10 victory.
Hey, be great now. All day, baby. Yeah. Love you, man. Let's go.
Let's go,
Coach.
Ball out, right?
Yep. Do what you do best.
Let's do it.
Hey, here we go. Let's get right now. Yeah. Clap it up one time. Oh. Come on, let's go. When we walk down the street, we only got 4, 5, 6, 2 blocks to Ric Flair. 1, 2, 3.
We only got
4, 5, 6.
Oh. Hey, you get it, man. Have fun, bro. Come on, 11. Oh, any jump. Throw it. Throw it deep. Stiff arm. Let's get a touchdown right here, man. Touchdown on this drive. Got him. Come on, J-Mac. Trip the back. Like, I went through the A. It shoveled the lagger. I just happened to dive out and flip him. And then that's why they have to keep going. Here we go. Be great. Pass down. Read the book. Oh, don't get your. Don't go out of bounds now. Oh yeah! Hey, you too light in the ass though.
Hey, that's your warning.
You too light in the ass though. TP. That ain't your route. That ain't your route. Stick to running deep. Gotta get this dude on the ground, bro.
We got him. We've been setting him up all day for you, Tank. We got him now.
It's a pleasure to play you.
For sure, man. Stay healthy, bro. Take advantage of this opportunity.
Very cool stuff there from Malcolm Jenkins in that 29-10 victory on Sunday. But we really want to look ahead now. And so to do so, we're going to take a look at the Chicago Bears, our first in-depth look a little later in the show.
Sure.
We'll go back to 1988, the Fog Bowl. I was there, the Eagles and the Chicago Bears in the playoffs. You remember Buddy Ryan doing the victory lap before the game? Didn't quite work out that way. But when we come back here on Eagles 360, quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo has been tutoring Carson Wentz since day one. He feels pretty good about what his star rookie did on Sunday, with much more ahead in this 2016 season. Next up on Eagles 360, quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo in studio.
I step to Philly.
I step to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport Line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill.
Regional Rail.
I step to Philly. The Broad Street Line on game days.
A la bodega.
To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly!
Remarkable things are happening at your local Acme. We're making changes and we're getting better every day. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood, and fresher produce and hundreds of organics. To top it off, we're lowering thousands of prices throughout the store. So come on in and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Lower prices, great quality, and friendlier service. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Experience the power of physical therapy at NovaCare Rehabilitation. We know the importance of an active lifestyle. If you're currently injured, let us bring that active lifestyle back to you. NovaCare is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. And with more than 100 convenient locations throughout Philadelphia and South Jersey, go to NovaCare.com today and request an appointment online or call 800-770-6682. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
We now have Eagles quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo in studio. And, of course, we're going to talk about Carson Wentz because that's what everybody's talking about. And I wonder, you know, coach, from a coaching standpoint, you have to keep the superlatives down, right?
Sure.
Is that the message to Carson?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, since training camp, since he's been here, it's been a one-day-at-a-time mentality. And, you know, we want to get better each day. We pick, you know, two or three things each day to get better at, and we strive for that. And that's kind of the approach we've been taking with Carson.
What did you think of Sunday's performance? As you graded, as you were the most critical guy on the planet looking at his performance?
Sure. You know, I had a chance to watch it a couple times. And, you know, I thought for the first time, I thought he played very, very well. I thought there were some things that we need to clean up. I thought the thing that I was really, really happy with Carson was that his poise in the pocket, his base stayed nice and narrow. He took a 6-inch step. And that throw he made on 4th and 4 to convert the first down and then throw the touchdown pass on the next play, that's what you see veteran quarterbacks make, those series of plays in a row. So it was great to see him make that in his first start.
How important do you think it was to come out of the chute and go 4 or 5, 57 yards, and finish it off with a touchdown pass to Jordan?
I thought Coach Peterson and Coach Wright had a great opening sequence of plays. I mean, they did a great job of scripting that and doing things that he's comfortable with. And the beauty of what Carson is, Carson's confident enough in himself that he knows he can make every throw. But like any quarterback, he prefers certain plays to others, and he's not afraid to voice those opinions. And that's part of the reason why I think Carson, you know, had the success he did. We did a lot of things that he was comfortable with, and, you know, that carried over throughout the whole game.
This will be my last question about Sunday because it's such distant memory here with Chicago in focus. But for you, did you feel like a proud papa, kind of, in a sense that, you know, you'd seen this young man come all the way through since April to this point, and to see him deliver like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, the quarterback room, there's not a lot of people in there, you know, so you get very close with these guys. And you know, that's probably one of the things I pride myself in, is I try to get to know my players more than just players, but as people as well. And it was great to see Carson the person go out and Carson the player go out there and play like he did, because, you know, I know how much time he's invested in himself in this building and invested in this offense and invested in this team. So it was really neat to see us go out as a team and in a cohesive offensive unit and do well.
John, how much film does Carson and Chase, if you can kind of quantify it, how much film do they watch during the course of a week?
A lot, a lot. So, you know, the normal in an off day for them, and their off day, they're in here at, you know, 7 o'clock. They leave at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. And then, you know, both those guys have iPads. So they're home watching tape all the time. I'll send them things over the iPad, over the iCloud. and you know, to watch at home. We'll talk on the phone. We go over the game plan all the time. So our minds are really never off of football throughout the week, very, very rarely.
Do you think that ultimately that is what's going to separate Carson in terms of his how high he can go on a consistent basis?
Absolutely, because you can't just enjoy Sundays as a quarterback. You have to enjoy the process of getting to Sunday. And if you don't enjoy the process of getting to Sunday and preparing for the opponent you're playing, you're not going to give it a full-fledged effort. So you have to appreciate and understand the process, understand how to prepare, and then that will carry over into your game on Sunday.
How critical are you, John? Are you a kiss him on the cheek and hit him on the rump kind of critical?
Well, I'm fair. That's how I'd like to describe myself. If you do good, then you get praise. If you don't do so good, then that's my job to tell you that you're not doing it the right way. So I think I try to be fair with all the players, and you know, there's some things that, you know, happen Sunday that we hope don't happen again, and there's some things that happened on Sunday that we hope do happen again on Monday night. So you just got to be fair, but at the same time, you know, explain to those guys the way you see it, the way you want it done.
How does Carson accept that kind of coaching?
He's great, and he's usually the first one to say it, you know, when we're watching on tape, because he knows what's supposed to look like. He knows the reads. He knows the progressions. He knows what coverage
he's seeing. How does he know all this? Seriously, like, how does he know all this?
Through time. I mean, yeah. Through us teaching him. And hey, this is where you want to go with the ball versus cover three. This is where you want to go with the ball versus cover two. You know, it gets into more of the conversation. Was, hey, they bluffed me on this. They brought the nickel from here. Or they brought the double-A pressure from the inside. I didn't see it. You know, well, hey, here's the keys to see that for Monday night, and we move on.
From the day he was drafted, you know, you and Frank and Doug have all talked in such glowing terms of his mental approach to the game. Like, it's almost like it's a beautiful mind kind of kid. And he's really smart all around, but as it pertains to football, he's got this otherworldly kind of innate knowledge of the game.
Yeah, it makes it really fun. No, you're not wrong at all. And it makes it fun because you can have graduate-level football conversations with this young man, and he's a rookie. And, you know, normally you have that with guys in my past that I've coached or the, you know, the Carson Palmer type guys that have been in the league, you know, 10, 11 years that can have those types of conversations with you. Well, this kid's having those types of conversations with you, you know, after his first game. So, again, we just got to keep building. It's an everyday process, and just keep building and understand that there's going to be peaks and valleys at some point, probably this year. There's going to be many more peaks than valleys, but we just got to understand to keep take it one day at a time.
In your experience as a quarterback coach, as an offensive coordinator, you've been on the primetime stage. Is there a difference for a quarterback? Is there a time in your past when you've had to kind of calm somebody down?
No, there's not. I mean, sure, there's a much more hype before the game, you know, with all the Monday night hoopla and all that. But it's a grand stage. I mean, there's nothing better than Monday night football. It's what everybody watches. Everyone's growing up watching. And it's a really neat experience for our football team. And we're looking forward to the opportunity.
So Carson won't get nervous for this one either?
Doubtful.
Wow. Amazing. Well, we're enjoying the ride. And enjoy the ride as well. Keep up the good work. And
thank you. Appreciate
thanks so much.
It.
John DeFilippo here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Santander. Introducing Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. A new checking account that's convenient and gives you more control. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Visit one of our branches or santanderbank.com/simple to learn more and sign up today.
Introducing Dunkin's new cold brew coffee. Steeped slowly in cold water for small batches with an ultra smooth, full-bodied flavor. Discover the craft of cold brew today and keep on. America runs on Dunkin'.
Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. Just make one deposit, payment, withdrawal, or transfer each month to waive the monthly fee. And there's no minimum balance. You're all right. Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank.
Hi, I'm Bo Allen from the Philadelphia Eagles. And this is the Allen from Bob's Discount Furniture.
We named it after Bo.
Thanks, Bob. You're the man.
It packs some serious power. Power recline. Power headrest. And USB ports. Get the sofa or console love seat in dark chocolate or light brown, an untouchable value at only $7.99 each.
I don't know how you do it, Bob, but man, do I respect it. You know how players show respect after big games?
Nope.
We swap jerseys.
golden outside or fluffy inside, deep pockets or delicious ridges, tasty egg or savory bacon. Experience Dunkin's new Belgian waffle breakfast sandwich. It's not this or that. It's all of it. America runs on Dunkin'.
Dave Spadaro, Joe DeCamera here on Eagles 360. We come your way Monday through Friday right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our official app. We're going to take an in-depth look at the Chicago Bears, but first, let's take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit NFLTicketExchange.com. Joe, what do you see?
Well, you look at this schedule, I guess, so first off, obviously, Eagles get the win, you know, versus the Browns, as they really needed to, with that being, in all likelihood, the easiest game of the season. So now you got these two games before the bye week. The Bears, a winnable game, Dave. This is a big spot on Monday night because the Eagles can get to 2-0. Look, we all know Pittsburgh's going to be a greater challenge. You saw what Pittsburgh did to Washington, you know, on Monday night. So clearly, Pittsburgh looms as a daunting test. But Chicago, if the Eagles can get that one and get to 2-0, even if they were to lose to Pittsburgh, it gets you that start to the season where now you're at 2-1 entering the bye week. So I think that would be a good goal. We'll see what happens. Obviously, 3-0 would be the goal. But if the Eagles can win this week, that'd be big, Dave.
Yeah, and so that's your look at the schedule. Now let's take a look at the Chicago Bears. Our first look at a team that opened its 2016 season on Sunday with a loss to the Houston Texans, a game in which the Bears show led 14-13 going into the fourth quarter, seemed to have things going. And then, as often happens with teams that don't have a lot of confidence, once it goes the wrong way, it goes that way in a hurry.
Yeah, and that's happened a lot to Jay Cutler in his career. You know, you talk about the Chicago Bears, and certainly it's a John Fox team now in his second season. And listen, John Fox has had some strong success in past spots, Carolina and Denver, in his second season. So he's trying to get their program turned around. And clearly from a 6-10 season last year, they have a lot to turn around. The thing about Chicago, though, you do look at, for many years now, Jay Cutler, and, you know, he's the all-time leading Bears passer in all these categories, but it hasn't really led to team success. So I think, Dave, it's one of those things, you know, I could say he's going to have to be better, but I think at this point you wonder how much better can he realistically be at this stage of his career. Certainly that's what they want to see him be. But, I mean, he's not a player that you really get the sense he's going to turn a corner at this point, right?
Yeah, it depends on what's around him. Now they've added Josh Sitton on the offensive line, so they're good guard to guard. The question about the Chicago Bears offense are the tackles and how good are they. We'll find out in this game. That's a really good matchup to watch. The Eagles defensive ends coming out of that wide nine formation up the field. Brandon Graham, Vinny Curry, and Connor Barwin, all of whom had good games on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns, against some weak tackles. Jay Cutler, the key here, throwing you some really good weapons on the outside. We've got Alshon Jeffrey and the second-year man, Kevin White, and Eddie Royal in the slot, and that's a really tough matchup for the Eagles secondary.
Well, it is, and of note here also, Chicago doesn't really have a very good running game, at least, you know, in the early stage of the season, that would be the expectation. So to what Dave's talking about, he's dead on right. You know, there's no question. Look, Jay Cutler can throw the ball. We can make all the jokes and comments we want about Jay Cutler through the years not being all that great and interception prone, but he can beat you. I mean, that he can do. He's got a big time arm. We've always known that. So this is a game I would expect the Chicago Bears to try to press the ball down the field, obviously, especially to Alshon Jeffrey, who's one of the best players on their team. He's, you know, been a Pro Bowler, not as good last year, but a very successful player, has had multiple thousand yard seasons. So that's a spot, Dave, where I would expect, you know, them to try to go after the Eagles secondary, which, you know, and especially the cornerbacks, which is still probably not, you know, one of the stronger spots on the Eagles defense. So to your point about the rush, absolutely got to get up there. Yeah. And you talk about the line, three new starters for Chicago on the line, but they did give up 5 sacks last week.
Yeah. Interesting to see what the Eagles do here on Monday night. Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles, Kenyon Barner had a couple of big runs against Cleveland, and Wendell Smallwood. So the Eagles using all of their backs, and they'll need them all against the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football. We've got a lot to get to here, and Amoroso's on the menu look ahead. But next up, our old school All-22 look back at a classic Eagles game. Unfortunately, it didn't end the way we wanted it to, but it was a game that anybody who saw it, or at least thought they saw it, will never forget.
This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Rothman at Jefferson. The Eagles and Rothman Institute at Jefferson are partnering to celebrate the top high school football teams and coaches in the tri-state area with the High School Football Showdown. Visit the website to vote for the game of the week and support your school. Check back daily for new matchups.
Their legend is legendary. They've seen the end zone more often than any other duo in history. They are professional football player watchers. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity X1. Call or click today.
You here to buy the tickets?
Hey, buddy, you here for the tickets?
Yeah.
Dude, what's the password, man?
Oh, Coach Shanahan.
What were you thinking?
We're doing like a CD ticket deal instead of going to NFL Ticket Exchange.
NFL Ticket Exchange. 100% verified, authentic tickets from one fan to the other.
We'll see you at the games, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Appreciate you.
You say crazy, I say crafted. You say savage, I say practice. Crazy, crafted, savage, practice. Let's run that whole thing back. You say unbelievable, I say achievable. You say incredible, I say inevitable. Unbelievable, achievable, incredible, inevitable. Let's run that whole thing back. Carbs to compete, electrolytes to replenish.
Their legend is legendary. They've seen the end zone more often than any other duo in history. They are professional football player watchers. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity X1. Call or click today.
We are back. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Joe DeCamera. And we, during the week, like to take a look back at some of the great Eagles games against the opponent of that week. And the Eagles and the Bears have played a lot of great ones. They played a lot of unusual ones. This one on our old school All-22 look here is the most bizarre of them all. It was called the Fog Bowl for a very good reason.
Hi, everyone. I'm Merrill Reese. And welcome to Old School All-22, a unique look at a moment or a game in Eagles history that we can relive through coaches' tape where you see all 22 players. And once again, my partner in the broadcast booth, Mike Quick, is here to analyze that game. And, Mike, this week the Eagles are playing the Bears, and of all the games against the Bears over all the years, the one that regretfully stands out most clearly in my mind is one that was least clear that day, 1988, the Fog Bowl.
It wasn't very clear for any of us, and particularly guys on the field like myself who had to run down the field and find Randall Cunningham in all that fog and try and find the football. A very difficult game, but it's one of those games that you'll always remember, and for the wrong reasons. The fog rolled in, and a team that was really good, really efficient at throwing the ball down the field, we couldn't throw the ball down the field because of that fog.
But they did connect with number 82, namely you, on one apparent touchdown that was called back.
There were several plays in this game that I thought early in the game could have made a difference in the outcome of the game. Several of them that we thought we had, but got called back we didn't have. Let me show you a perfect example of one of these plays that could have changed the outcome of the game.
Down 7-0 in the first quarter, the Eagles had the ball deep in Chicago's territory thanks to a Seth Joyner interception. On 3rd and 13, Randall Cunningham lined up in his shotgun with four receivers split out wide. He took the snap, dropped back, and scrambled away from the pressure, forcing a throw to his right. The pass bounced off of a Chicago defender, floating in the air right to Chris Carter, who knocked the ball right into my hands for what should have been a touchdown to tie the game. But the touchdown wouldn't count. Instead, the play came back because of a holding penalty in the backfield by fullback Anthony Toney against linebacker Mike Singletary. The Eagles were forced to kick a field goal, and instead of tying the game up, Chicago maintained a lead that they never let go of, as the Bears went on to win the game 20-12.
Mike, I will always believe that that was Buddy Ryan's best team.
Yeah.
And that had the fog not rolled in, that team would have beaten the Chicago Bears. And that was the team with the capability of going to the Super Bowl.
We had so much firepower on offense, and we knew that we could throw the ball down the field against their defense. And we scored some touchdowns early in the game. I mentioned when they got called back. There was also one right into the hands of Keith Jackson in the end zone that he dropped. A very reliable guy, but he dropped that one in the end zone. That really hurt. But the fact that we couldn't get the ball down the field, Chris Carter was on one side, Mike Quick, Keith Jackson, Anthony Toney out of the backfield, Keith Byers. We had a lot of firepower, not to mention all the talent that we had on the defensive side of the ball. I agree with you. That was Buddy Ryan's best team, best defense, and best opportunity to win a Super Bowl in Philadelphia.
Joe, painful loss, right? Like Buddy Ryan, kind of a telltale sign of the Buddy Ryan era, missed opportunities.
Well, here's the one thing about the Fog Bowl that I'll say, though, that is a little different as we think of it today as we thought of it then. After that game in 88, there was such hope and promise that that group was going to do great things. That was one of those losses. It almost reminds me a little bit of the Saints loss in 2013, where you said, okay, it's a loss, and man, the Eagles could have won, but man, better things are up ahead. And it didn't materialize. That was the thing. I mean, obviously, the Eagles finally beat the Saints in 92 and got that first playoff win. But you know what I'm saying. It's just there was hope that that group could do something special together. And while there were a lot of fun times, only one playoff win amongst that group.
Zero.
Well, zero Buddy for Buddy, but you know, that group of players in 92 finally beat
that's
the Saints.
Right. Ah, a missed opportunity.
Well, and in so many ways, because, you know, as we just saw, I mean, all the plays the Eagles could have had and dropped touchdowns and
it was
crazy penalties
game.
Pulling things back.
Couldn't see a thing from the press box. Bizarre. All right, let's take a little break here on Eagles 360. When we come back, we take a look at what's ahead. Our Amoroso's on the menu sneak peek at the week to come.
I sup to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill.
Regional Rail.
I sup to Philly. The Broad Street line on game days.
A la bodega. To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly.
Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. Just make one deposit, withdrawal, transfer, or payment each month to waive the monthly fee. And there's no minimum balance. You're all right with Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. Are you feeling all right, baby?
Our final segment here on Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Joe DeCamera. What's ahead for you? It's our Amoroso's on the menu look at Thursday. The Eagles on the practice field on Thursday. And the coordinators speaking to the media, Frank Reich and Jim Schwartz. We also have Glenn Macnow in studio with his bold predictions. And how about this one? Quarterback Carson Wentz joins me in studio. We've got a little sneak peek for you of what the rookie quarterback thought in that first game and the things that have gone down in his life these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a whirlwind, you know, obviously hearing the news and then being named the starter and everything. A lot of preparation went into the week, you know, not only just in the film room, which was normal, but, you know, getting some timing down that I had lost with guys for the last couple weeks of the preseason. But it was a lot of fun. You know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the process. Went out on Sunday, and, you know, we played well, and we got the win.
That's our Amoroso's on the menu. Amoroso's, the reason Philly sandwiches are so famous and so yummy.
That's so good.
Yeah. Well, you'll be back, right?
Yes.
You're coming back on Friday.
Friday, all right. Season long.
Yeah.
We got a season brewing here with promise.
It all changed, didn't it, Joe? It all changed for you, right?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, the Cleveland game was largely what I expected, but there's greater promise from Wentz than I expected early.
Yeah.
And so from that standpoint, yeah.
Let's giddy up. Yeah. Let's get going. For Joe DeCamera, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us here on Eagles 360. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day, everyone.